Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, I want to welcome everybody. This is Friday. And you know what? It's just a great Friday. There's not a cloud in the sky down here in Florida. Things are going great. It's been a wonderful week. I'm getting ready for Aces Radio Live tonight with the great John Milton Fogg. It's going to be phenomenal. But today, I've really had a concern all week long. Actually, it's since the first of the year. I have been seeing just a plethora, an onslaught of questionable ethics, companies and people. And I see people that will say, hey, I'm a God-fearing Christian. Don't talk to me about what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. And I see other people that are out there and they're saying there's a difference between your personal ethics and your business ethics. And as I sat here and I looked at all the just the average people that can be hurt. When I look at the people that could be devastated because of a lack of ethics, I thought, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm just going to do a call. We're going to do a radio show on this. And I base it off of a book. Maxwell, and I don't have the book in front of me, but he created a book a while back called Ethics. And it had to do with the fact that there's no such thing as difference between business ethics and personal ethics. You either have ethics or you don't. It's just that plain and simple. But the question today I want to ask is, what happened to business ethics? You know, where is it at? What happened to the fact that when you gave your word, you lived by your word? It wasn't the fact that things changed. It was the fact that this is just the way it is. And I pulled out some stats, and these are from George Barna of Barna Research. And this is what people think of different types of leaders. This is how much they have confidence in them. They asked the pollsters. They said, do you trust executives of large corporations? Only 3% of the people that they polled respected, trusted, whatever you want, from an ethical standpoint, those leaders. They said elected government officials. Well, they ranked right there with the big corporations, 3%. They said, what about film and TV producers, directors, writers, those that get out there and spread the message for whatever it is? And they said, we only believe 3% of them. They said, okay, but what about news reporters and journalists? They said, well, 5%. They said, what about small business owners? That went up to 8%. They said, okay, but what about ministers and priests and the clergy? Well, that went up 11%. And the saddest of all was they said, what about teachers? And they said, oh, we believe 14%. And it's like, wow. You know, this is the confidence level because of the way the ethics have just been trashed. People don't trust anybody anymore. People think everybody's out to get something from them, so they're going to beat them to the punch. This week I've seen at least 12 different potential Ponzi schemes and pyramids and scams that have come across my desk by people that are concerned, what happens if I join this? It's like, man, that's bad. See, I think today one of the reasons we've seen ethics go out the window, we've seen our personal people, just ourselves, we put our ethics on hold. I think one of the main reasons is we're trying to do what's most convenient. You know, if we can just get out there and make a quick buck, if we can save our house, if we can put food on the table, maybe ethics aren't as important as that. Maybe we should put on hold our values and our principles. It's funny, I read this phrase and I thought it was good. It said, an ethical dilemma can be defined as an undesirable or unpleasant choice relating to a moral principle or practice. John Maxwell said that. I think it's powerful, so powerful I want to say it again. An ethical dilemma can be defined as an undesirable or unpleasant choice relating in a moral principle or practice. Now, I'm going to take this so far to the extreme that most people will never have to live with this in their life. But ethics are very important, and I think in America we all love our children. And we want the best for our children and other people's children. And a lot of people that have never been in a wartime situation feel that if you kill children in war, that you must be an evil person. Folks, I can tell you right now that in the middle of a battle, when the enemy has used a child and put a hand grenade around their neck and they are coming at you and your squad, there is no ethical dilemma. The enemy doesn't have an age. And you may say, gosh, Troy, that's pretty harsh. But think about what I just said. The enemy doesn't have an age. See, when you actually sit here in life and you violate your ethics, you violate your principles for the almighty dollar, when you violate your principles and your ethics because of an undesirable or unpleasant choice, and it hurts other people, and it's for personal gain, now that's a dilemma. But when you're saving people's lives, then your ethics are never in question. See, I find it humorous all the time because I'll write some blog posts. Actually, I've written on 16 different companies over the last few years. And these have been questionable ethical dilemmas for these companies because they're operating in a non-ethical way. And as I reflected on what I'd written, and I reflected on the comments the people have left, as I read through those comments, it became very obvious that the people were defending their choices, in a lot of cases, based on an ethical dilemma. They didn't want to face the fact that there was questions here. They didn't want to face the fact that their ethics might be in question. And almost every one of them would start out with, "You're wrong. You're stupid. You're a jerk. You don't know what you're talking about." But yet none of them would explain in detail what I'd gotten wrong. It was like, let's put blinders on. Another reason that we have an ethical dilemma is we will do what we must to win. All of a sudden, it's not about a righteous win. It's not about a strong win. It's about a win at all costs. Starting to sound like organized crime. See, that's part of the reason that we have an ethical dilemma. Something else John wrote that I thought was very powerful, and I wrote this down in my 3x5 card. Many people believe that embracing ethics would limit their options, their opportunity, their very ability to succeed in business. And yet people expect you to be ethical when you're out there. You expect people to be ethical. See, this is where, if you guys haven't, I'm going to tell you a good book. This is a great book to read. I don't even know if you guys can find it. You have to look for it. It's called Unshakable Foundation. And it talks in here about Aristotle's first principles. And I strongly suggest if you can go and get any of Aristotle's work. Yes, I know he's dead and he's old, but some of the most powerful works, and it's still the premise of a lot of what we do today. And in here, he would look at this and he would say, many people believe that embracing ethics would limit their options, their opportunity, their very ability to succeed in business. And then he would have looked at his class and has said, if this is what you feel, then you automatically know that you're violating your ethics. Otherwise, ethics wouldn't come into play at all. You wouldn't even have this thought. So see, you're already violating deep inside to even think of a statement, to even believe that embracing ethics would limit their options, their opportunity, and their variability to succeed in business means that they automatically know in their heart they should have those ethics in place. They probably expect those ethics when they're doing business with other people, but they don't give them the same ethics trying to win, trying to cut the deal. The third reason that ethics have been pushed out the window is because we want to rationalize our choices with relativism. Well, today it won't matter. It's okay today. And dadgummit, you want to get me pissed off. I'll tell you what really irritates me when it comes to ethics is that it's gone all the way down into the home. And now here's what we see. I get an email. Yeah, actually, it wasn't an email. Harry Wilkes was with me. We were chatting yesterday, and up on a Skype message comes up this instant message that's telling me, hey, a lot of people don't want to get divorced today. They don't want to get tied up with other people, but come check out our new website where you can have an affair with other married people. Just like the Ashley Madison. See, everybody pushes their ethics away. Nobody wants to commit. Nobody wants to have ethics. And here's the funny thing, guys. Let me share a little story with you. Let me bring this home. I was a senior partner in a mergers and acquisition firm in the late 80s. And I had that position for two reasons. One, I knew a little bit about business. Nobody said I was the greatest. I'm no Donald Trump, obviously, and I'm no Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. But I know a little bit about business, and I definitely know about negotiation. But I also, at that time, was a bodyguard for the owner of this company, and I did all of his driving. I protected him at the airport, wherever we went. I was not living for the Lord, so most every night we would end up in some club in some city, and it was a high-class club. It would cost $100 or more to get in. It was what they called the gentleman's club. And we would sit there, and he would get drunk. He weighed about 300 pounds, so after about six or seven pitchers of beer, all of a sudden it would hit him, and he'd be wasted. We'd drop a grand or two in this club a night. And he had a little brother that had decided he wanted to follow in his footsteps, and he was going to be his senior vice president. We were sitting there one night, and this beautiful, I'll be straight up, this gal was drop-dead gorgeous. There wasn't a thing on her body out of place. And she's sitting here giving this, he was about 22 at the time, giving this kid this lap dance, and he was just in hog heaven, and he paid her tip, and she left, and he said, man, what a great gal. I'd sure like to take her back to the hotel. And I sat there drinking my coffee. I've never been a drinker. Don't drink. Don't like losing control. Did that once. Wasn't a good thing. So when I was on a job, it was always coffee. And I looked at him for a minute, and as calmly as I could, I said, you know what? I feel the same way about your wife. Do you mind when I get back if I can take her to bed? And all of a sudden, it was like a light bulb had gone on in his brain. And he said, man, I don't know what she's doing at home, do I? I said, you have no clue what she's doing at home. And if she knows you're sitting out here at a topless club every doggone night, and you're dropping $1,000 on lap dances, but yet you're not giving her attention at home, son, she may be at a club looking at some stud that's dancing and wiggling in front of her. And all of a sudden, it changed. He quit the company. He went to work as a shoe salesman at Dillard's. And I'm glad to say that they're still married today. His brother had to serve time in jail on tax evasion and fraud and a bunch of other stuff. But that kid learned a valuable lesson that night. All of a sudden, he realized that what was okay for him wasn't okay for his wife. If it wasn't okay for his wife, then he best get his butt at home and take care of mama. See, ethics is not a one-way street. Ethics is a two-way street. There's not separation of business ethics and personal ethics. You either have ethics or you don't. You either live by your ethics or you don't. And this is a sad thing, but it's so true, folks. Ethics don't change. There is a legitimate black and white. There is no gray area in life. I don't care what anybody says. I'll debate any of them. It is a black and white issue. I either love my wife or I don't. I either serve people or I don't. I either want the business to grow or I don't. I'm either in it for myself or I'm not. There is no gray area. I'm either 100% committed or I'm not. And I don't care if it's your personal business. I don't care if it's a downline. I don't care if it's an upline. It doesn't matter. It's personal. It's always personal. It doesn't have to do with the law. It has to do with the universal laws that God put into play. I don't care if you believe in God or not. This is just the way it is. You can call it the universe or whatever you want if you're a metaphysical person. I'm telling you, ethics is not a debatable issue. Ethics don't change from generation to generation. Ethics don't change from country to country. Ethics are instilled on your heart just like the dawn of time is. And it's the people that want to blow off the ethics It's the people that want to justify the motive that end up losing. Here's another quote from Maxwell. The same person who cheats on his taxes or steals office supplies wants honesty and integrity from the corporation whose stock he buys, the politician he votes for, and the client he deals with in his own business. Let's state that again. This just validated what I just said. The same person who cheats on his taxes... Oh, wait a minute. Let's change this. The same person who cheats on his wife or steals from the church wants honesty and integrity from the corporation whose stock he buys, the politician he votes for, or the client he deals with in his own business. That's absolutely correct. We get so livid if we think we've been cheated. Why do you think there's certain industries out there that people don't like? They don't like attorneys. They don't like used car salesmen. They didn't like bail bond agents. They didn't like life insurance salesmen. See how it's crazy? Now people don't like mortgage brokers. They don't like stock brokers, and they still don't like politicians. Folks, this is you know, when I sat here today and I thought, man, what am I going to do? Because I told folks we were going to just take a couple days, and I thought, you know what? Today's going to be raw and uncut. Because this is truly what's wrong with business today. This is why network marketing, most of you guys that listen to us are from network marketing. You either run companies, own companies, or you're in the field. This is what's wrong with the network marketing and the direct selling industry today. Is we've got lobby groups up there like the DSA that are doing their best to protect their members, but they've got member corporations that could care less about the distributors. But then you've got distributors that could care less about the company. They're just there to get whatever they can get. And then you've got attorneys out there that are trying to make it better. You've got associations like the Distributors' Rights Association trying to make it better, fighting because one side says you have to have ethics and the other side says, no, you got to take all you can take before they take it from you. And then every now and then in the middle, you find companies like Vima, whose founder says, some days it's so frustrating to me with distributors because they don't understand what our vision is. But yet he calls them brand partners and knows that he's got to have them and that they're the backbone of the business and he loves them unconditionally. There's guys like Wayne Hillman at Life Force International that says, I may be antiquated and I may be drawing the line, but I'm going to draw a line in the sand, and this is how we're going to run our business. And if we're never the biggest in the bunch, that's okay. At least we'll be the strongest. And by far, maybe the most conservative and have the most cash of any network marketing company out there because of this. Then you've got the Wallach family at Youngevity who says, you know what? Let's not let these companies go under. Let's go out there and try to buy them up and work with them and leave their people intact and make this happen because those distributors deserve it. And we don't want to see distributors hurt. There are still ethics in business, no matter what industry it is. I remember about a year and a half ago sitting at a breakfast table at my favorite breakfast haunt down here in Destin. And this guy that's a very wild guy said, Troy, I will bet you that a year from now, your Ford stock won't be worth anything and they'll be bankrupt. I said, you're on. Not a problem. Because of Ford's ethic, they kept paying off debt. They kept strong, streaming, making the business stronger. Today, they're the only profitable U.S.-based car dealer, car manufacturer. My stock has gone from $1.50 to $11 this year. All about ethics. They remembered. They went back and they looked at the strong leaders in that company and they said, this is how we've got to run our business. We don't need a bailout. We don't need a handout. We don't need special attention. We just need to be responsible to our shareholders and to the people that drive our vehicles who are keeping us in business. We've got to remember who the real consumer is and do it right the first time, and they did it. See, that's the power in ethics. Folks, you either have ethics or you don't. When you go out there and you start looking at a business, I don't care what business it is, it should never be about the money first. It should be about the ethical practices of the company. Is everything above board? Is everything out and open? Is it authentic and transparent? Do they talk about their strengths and their weaknesses? Because if the business isn't doing that, that means the owners of the company, the leaders of the company, aren't doing it either. Companies, no matter what the IRS says, are just alter egos to the people who found them. That's the key. Here's something else that I wrote down. Companies that are dictated to doing the or dedicated, companies that are dedicated to doing the right thing have a written commitment to social responsibility and act on it consistently are more profitable than those that don't. Let me read this again. I'm going to start printing instead of writing. Companies that are dedicated to doing the right thing have a written commitment to social responsibility and act on it consistently. These are the ones that are more profitable. Folks, listen to me. I've seen this day over, day in and day out. There's a little company we're going to be doing a review on not too long from now. It's called Evolve. It's got a new deal on the way they put health and cleanliness and natural stuff by antibiotics and stuff, I guess you could say, or in their products. And the owner of the company is dedicated to living a green life, being able to not just produce products, but show people how to live environmentally sound. Now, I'm not a big Greenpeace fan, but here's what I'm going to get at. These guys are walking their walk. He's very transparent. He ended up with one of their strategic partners, was scared to death about network marketing and sued them, saying, please take our name off your bottle. He goes, why should I do that? I paid you thousands and thousands of dollars to do the research. I mean, it's legit. And they said, because we don't know about network marketing and we're getting all these calls and we don't want anybody to do it. So we're going to sue you if you don't do that. And he said, then sue me. Then he went to his blog and he explained his stance. Folks, when you can, I don't care what company it is, but when a company owner runs a blog, shoots his own YouTube videos, is out there in the public light, he's putting his reputation on the line. You can pretty much tell this boy's rocking. Almost every legitimate company I've ever seen, the owner or the top officers in the company are out in public all the time. But yet almost every scam I've seen, you can't find the owners when you need them. See, that's the dilemma here, folks. Look at the companies that you're doing business with. Look at yourself. Because it's all about people. At the end of the day, ethics revolve around the people, not the corporate shell, not the team spirit or anything like that. It's about the individuals that play the role. That's the key. See, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me what another country thinks about the United States. Shouldn't matter to you either. But what should matter is what they think of the President of the United States, the Congress, the Vice President, the Senator. Because the reality is they're the ones that make up the country. This is a republic. That means we put them in office. That means that if there's an ethical dilemma there, we either got to ship up and ship them out, or we got to look deep in our hearts and say, is this how we feel too? And we're not getting off on a political journey here. That's not my goal, but I'm trying to explain something. It's always about the people. You can't look at a company and say, boy, that company's unethical. No, it's not. The company's just on paper. It's the people running it. You can't look at the family and say, oh, he just made a mistake. No, he's got an ethical dilemma. You can't look at the kids and say, well, they didn't know any better. Yes, they did. It's an ethical dilemma. And when people think it's okay to do things, and it's okay to hide it, it's okay to pretend because it's at the end of the day, it's all a relative. It's what I think ethics are, not what you think ethics are. It's not that way, folks. It's black and white. There are some basic principles of ethics. It kind of reminds me when I hear political guys talking all the time about how, hey, you know, and they're all motivated by some reason, but they'll tell you, well, we need more hate crime bills. You know, did you hear that that gay person got killed? Or do you hear that beautiful model got beat? Or did you hear that those churches got burnt down? And I'm sitting there shaking my head saying, okay, it's not about introducing hate crime bills. It's about enforcing the law. If a person violates the law, they're violating ethics that have been written down. Not moral dilemmas here. This is just physical dilemmas. You prosecute. The problem is, folks, that we want to look at ethics, and then we sit there and we say, well, ethics should be separated from integrity. No. Ethics is what we believe. Integrity is how we live. And if you live by your ethics, your integrity shines through. We put a widget up on our website, I don't know, almost a year ago. And it showed all the people that always came to our website. Hundreds of thousands of people come to our website. And it said subscribers on it, because that's the way the widget came in. And after a year, I had a guy say, are those really subscribers? I had to go look and see what he was talking about. I looked, and I said, well, the page views are down here, and these are the people that have been on the website. So I went and I looked at our database. And he said, well, I wonder if you haven't cleaned up house in your own backyard. I said, man, you've got a great point there. So I went into the code. We figured out how to get rid of the word subscribers. Changed it to raving fans. So you've got to clean house sometimes. When somebody points out maybe an issue that could be an ethical dilemma, you clean house. You don't debate it. You don't defend it. If somebody else is looking at that and there's an issue, then you got to clean it up. This is the key. Here's something that if you don't get anything else out of the show today, I want you to get this. I believe you'll be able to use one guideline to govern all of your ethical decisions if you want to. And that's the golden rule. If you'll do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Simple, nothing fancy. But I guarantee you life will be better. I guarantee you your business will grow. Good guys and gals do finish first. If you want to win, it's more than just the money. It's more than just the business. It's more than just a battle. You got to win at everything. Folks, there's no separation in ethics. You either have them or you don't. You either live by them or you don't. Look at the people that you influence on a daily basis. That's how you know if you're living by your ethics. And if you're living by your ethics, if you're doing it right, then the sky's the limit on where you can go. Nothing will hold you back. It might be a little tougher. You sometimes might get a little bit frustrated because somebody else got there faster. But golly, in the last 28, 29 years of being an active distributor in direct sales, do you know how many flash in the pans I've seen? People that have come on strong and then disappeared, and when you dug deep, you found out why. It's ethical dilemmas. I watched Art Williams fire the top earners twice because they were doing things unethically. I see companies out there change all the time. Some of them don't have what it takes anymore to terminate. But I'm telling you, when you live by the ethics, your character will show it, your integrity will shine through, and people will grow. Folks, next week we're going to start a new series. I don't know. It's going to be a surprise, so come and hang out with us on Monday morning, 9 a.m. This afternoon, we've got the great John Milton Fogg on Aces Radio Live. It's going to be a great hour. John is doing some awesome things right now, launching some new stuff. You know, he wrote The World's Greatest Networker many, many years ago. It's still a bestseller. He's got a wild and crazy uncut personality. He's nutty. Married this beautiful, hot-blooded redhead a few years ago. He's got some great kids. You don't want to miss this show. You're going to have fun. Go to Aces Radio Live. You can get the phone number or you can get the link to the show online. It starts at 5 Central. Outside of that, live life like it's an epic adventure. We'll see you at the top.